Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
What's up, everybody? Before we launch into today's episode, we have a very exciting announcement. We here at the Command Zone are hiring.
That's right. If you've ever dreamed of turning your love of Magic the Gathering and Commander into a career, if you want to work with creative professionals in a fast-paced environment that's really rewarding, if you're creative, ambitious, hardworking, passionate, we want you on our team. And one thing, Jimmy, is that's really cool, I think, is we have a lot of positions open, and it's all the way from people who are entry level with no experience to people with that are experts in their field that have a lot of experience. We want people all along that spectrum. I think this is a really cool place to work. Hopefully you would agree.
Yeah, I think so. It's been one of the best parts of my life for the last 7 years. And if you're looking for a way to get into showbiz, the entertainment industry, online content creation, there is no better place. We very much look forward to seeing everyone's applications.
Yeah. So that link is collected.company/jobs. The link will be in the show notes, so you don't have to memorize it or anything. Mm-hmm. But please, if you're interested, if you want to join our team, follow that link, apply for one of the positions or multiple positions, and hopefully we're talking to you very soon. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. All right. Let's get on with the episode.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Command Zone podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ, and today I'm joined by
Lady Danger.
Hello, Lady. Welcome, welcome.
Thanks.
Today, we're going to be talking about the new pre-constructed decks. The one that we're talking about today is Draconic Rage.
I would like to rage.
I mean, if we're talking about Dungeons and Dragons, we got to have a dragon deck.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. But before we get into it, before we talk about how we're going to upgrade it, what's in the deck, we got to talk about our sponsors. Starting off with Card Kingdom. Card Kingdom is fantastic. Look, you're going to want to get some pre-constructed decks. You're going to want to get some singles from this set, from other sets. Go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone to get all of your singles, all of your pre-constructed decks. You're going to buy Magic cards anyways, so you might as well use our affiliate link and support them and us. Also, while you're over there, you're going to want to get some Ultra Pro product.
Yes.
Ultra Pro has some awesome products. Do you know what I love about Ultra Pro is the art that they have, because they have license to the official Magic art, and there's going to be so much great art when it comes to this Dungeons and Dragons set. There's going to be really cool art, references to Dungeons and Dragons, throwbacks to all sorts of cool stuff. And so get the coolest art on your cards with Ultra Pro. Also, speaking of Ultra Pro, we have something cool that Ultra Pro hooked up for us.
Oh, yeah.
Grab that thing.
Wacham!
Oh, my gosh. Right now, we are running a Kickstarter campaign, and we have an Ultra Pro Super Deck Box, and it looks amazing. Made out of really high-quality materials. It's got the Game Nights logo on it. It's got the Game Nights logo all over the place, this beautiful lining. Honestly, this is just a really well-constructed deck box. And this is a limited quantity. We only ordered so many. They could only make so many. So make sure that you head on over to our Kickstarter and get one if you want one. They are amazing products. And of course, there's one other way to support us, and that's directly through Patreon. And you get all sorts of perks, like some patrons are getting one of those deck boxes for free. Just getting it shipped to them.
I hope it's me.
And then also they get really, really cool other perks like getting on Discord or getting to watch our content early. And of course, one other perk that they get is one lucky patron gets called out every single episode. And today's episode is dedicated to
Sam Otterberg.
Sam, you rock.
You rock.
All right. Let's talk about this pre-constructed deck. Look, we love just taking these out and immediately playing them straight out of the box. They're really, really fun to play, but sometimes straight out of the box, it doesn't always measure up to our commander tables, you know?
Yeah.
You bring your deck from home and I bring my pre-con and sometimes they don't hang together. Mm-hmm. So we will have a simple goal to be able to pump these things up. Just have a simple upgrade guide, 10 cards in, 10 cards out, keep it cheap, under $30. And we have a specialist here, lady. You have analyzed this deck, you've broken it down, and you have some information to share with us. Let's start off by talking about the commander card.
So the commander card is Vrondis, Rage of Ancients. It's a 3-mana, it's a 5-mana, 5/4 with Enrage. Whenever Vrondis, Rage of Ancients is dealt damage, you may create a 5/4 red and green dragon spirit creature token with when this creature deals damage, sacrifice it. When you roll one or more dice, you may have Vrondis deal one damage to itself.
Okay, so we have, and it is a dragon itself.
It's a dragon barbarian.
A dragon barbarian for 3 red green. Okay, so a 5-mana, 5/4 that creates more 5/4s.
Yes.
But you can't just create 5/4s out of nowhere. You kind of got to do some stuff. You got to roll some dice.
Maybe take a little damage.
Okay, well, these aren't even normal dragons that it's producing. These are weird dragons, right?
Yeah, because they're, spirit creature tokens, but they die. You have to sacrifice it once it's dealt damage.
Yeah, they're these little dragons. They're not little. They're 5/4s. Yeah, they're big they're dragons. Little. They're yeah. big dragons.
They're honkers.
They're big honking dragons. But whenever they deal damage, they die. You have to sacrifice it. Mm-hmm. So that means that they block, they get sacrificed. You attack and you deal damage to your opponent, they get sacrificed. Really interesting sort of mechanic. So with this one, I feel like you need to roll some dice to create some of these extra dragons. You need to enrage it so you can create extra dragons. Just create lots and lots of dragons, right?
Yeah, and it's the new mechanic. You know what I mean? We don't get to roll a lot of dice in Magic, and I'm really excited to roll some dice.
Okay, well, this is not the only legendary creature. It might be the face legendary creature of this set, but there's another one that can lead this commander deck. Let's talk about the next one.
This is Klauth, Unrivaled Ancient. It's another dragoon. It is a 7-mana 4/4 flying haste. Whenever Klauth, Unrivaled Ancient attacks, add X mana in any combination of colors where X is the total power of attacking creatures. Spend this mana only to cast spells. Until the end of turn, you do not lose this mana as steps and phases end.
Whoa, so this can produce a ton of mana.
Like a lot.
Like a lot, a lot.
A lot, a lot.
Okay, so you play it, and then just if you attack on its own, it gives you 4 mana. That's not that great, but it starts adding up everything. So if you have a random 5/4 dragon and you attack with just a 5/4 and this thing, you're producing 9 mana. That's so much mana.
That's so much mana that could probably be used to cast some crazy spells to destroy your opponent.
Like, I'm just, my mind is going with like big things like Galta. It's just like, oh, what could I do with like 16 mana, with 20 mana, with a ton of mana?
I mean,
just imagine what Craterhoof Behemoth could do.
I know, but I feel like Galta would already be so cheap if you got dragons out there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So this is like big, big, big mana. So the thing is about like mana ramp, that this is a weird sort of mana ramp because it starts at 7 mana and then ramps you to like a bajillion. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? A lot of times the mana ramp that we really like, you know, it costs 2 and it ramps you 1 extra mana. So this, you know, we have to look and see, well, is this deck so mana hungry that we want 20 mana on turn 8 or 9?
I feel like some people would say yes, but I say no.
Ooh, okay. But before we get into like breaking down the stats and finding out which one of these commanders is great, we've got one more commander to talk about.
All right. And their name is Wulfgar of Icewind Dale. It is a human barbarian, 5 mana 4/4 with melee. Whenever this creature attacks, it gets +1/+1 and until end of turn for each opponent you attacked this combat. And if a creature you control attacking would cause a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time.
Okay. So on its face value, you know, 3 red, green, 4/4. But when you attack, the melee ability triggers twice because melee is an attacking ability, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's kind of cool. It attacks really well. And it sort of panharmonicons, it kind of doubles up all of these attack triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm wondering how many different attack triggers are there. Like, I'm just like thinking of
them
off the top of my head, and I'm like running through all the things. It's like, oh my gosh, where are all the attack triggers out there?
And dragons are kind of known for attack triggers, right?
Ooh. That's really cool. So we definitely have to pay attention to all those attack triggers, find out if there are a lot of them in this deck, because, you know, I'm thinking about, Inferno Titan doing extra damage, or Elder Gargaroth drawing 2 cards instead of 1 or something
yes.
like that. So I think that there is a lot of really cool attack triggers out there. So definitely a deck to be built around this. We just have to find out how many are in this deck. Speaking of breaking down this deck and finding out exactly what's in it, we have a chance to talk about the
Stats.
How did you go lower than me on that one? That was amazing.
It's a gift.
The stats. All right, let's look at the stats. First up, we got to talk about ramp. This is a big dragon deck. We might have to ramp into 7 drops and 8 drops.
And you know what I mean? Like all of these huge dragons.
We have 13 sources of ramp.
That's I think for a pre-constructor deck, 13 is pretty good.
That's great. 13 is actually really over the top in many situations. Like sometimes we're like 9 or 10, you know, mm-hmm. That's like a good place to be. 13 is great. Now, one thing to point out is that a few of them are these big ramp spells. They're there to get you to like massive amounts of mana. Like mm-hmm. This dragon is like, is it a ramp spell? Technically,
kind
of, it gives
yeah.
you a lot of mana, but it could ramp you to like really, really big things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next we have card draw. How many card draw sources?
We've got 9 card draw sources in here. Bam!
Cards everywhere. I love it.
It makes sense for dragons. They want more of everything.
They do. You're right. Single target removal.
So we have on here 11, but I know there's a caveat with that. There's technically 6 single target removal, but as we all know, dragons tend to do a lot of damage when they come in or have some kind of ability or combat trigger or something like that. So we also included another 5, which are part of the dragons in here that
got it.
So could do targeted removal to get some stuff out.
So 6 reliable real sources of removal.
Yes.
And then an additional 5 dragon-based removal.
Yeah, dragon removal.
It's like, well, I know
dragon
what you mean,
pest
though.
Services.
Like there are some dragons that when they attack, they deal damage, you know, or they're going to come into play and like distribute damage. So mm-hmm. I understand what you mean about this dragon-based removal. And you're right. It's more of a bonus to having a big dragon rather than I need to kill this right now. I need removal.
Mm-hmm. You know? But you might have it in your hand and you're like, I need removal. And then you look at your hand, you're like, oh, this dragon actually can do that for me. So, mm-hmm. you know, win-win.
Okay. And then we move on to board wipes.
We've got 2.
Okay. That's pretty good. I don't think that you are really invested in putting a huge amount of board wipes in this deck because you're playing dragons. Like, you're a creature-based deck, right? Yeah. Like, you're not going to necessarily want to have all of these board wipes, you know, taking out your own dragons.
Especially if you end up going with the Verondis Rage of Ancients and you have all those spirit tokens out there. You don't want to get
rid of all
that. It feels
like you've got good defenses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And then next, we have some specific categories. We have dragon matters, like the dragon tribal theme.
Mm-hmm.
How many dragons or cards that care about dragons are there in this deck?
I would ask you to guess, but I know you know.
I know, yes.
So
the numbers.
It's 29. We've got 29 dragoons in this deck.
Or dragons matters cards. Yes. Things that synergize together with dragons, and that is a huge number.
I would say a percentage, but I'm not good at math.
It's 29 because there's 100 cards in a commander deck.
Don't make me do math.
No, it's 29% because there's 100 cards.
29%.
Yes.
Look, you learn something every day.
So that's a huge number. That's a huge proportion of your cards.
It honestly really is.
So we know that we are sort of all in on dragons, which means that cards that synergize with dragons might be more important as our commander.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we do know that one of our face commanders works when you roll dice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a new mechanic. How many dice rolling cards do we have in here?
We've got 11 dice rolling cards in here, and they're all new cards.
So that's a huge proportion of the new cards have you rolling dice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it's pointing a finger to a specific card.
So these rolling dice are enrage enablers for your commander, but then there might be some other enrage enablers in this deck. Mm-hmm. How many of them are those?
We've got 5.
Okay. Technically.
Things
that could theoretically enrage your commander and create those 5/4. But some of them are not easy.
Yeah.
You know, they could jump through some hoops.
Yeah. You gotta work a little bit.
Okay. So, and then you have this backup commander. We talked about Wolfgar of Icewind Dale. And how he loves attack triggers. So how many cards in this deck will synergize with him and his attacking?
About 5.
Okay, so not a lot. Like, we mentioned 29 things that care about dragons and 5 about attacking. So as we move on, because we're going to talk about who should be the commander, mm-hmm. It feels like Wolfgar's moving out of the way a little bit.
Yeah.
One thing to note, well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get
into the analysis a little bit later, but it sounds like there's going to be some dragoning. You know, there's definitely going to be some dice rolling.
There's probably going to be, I don't know, dungeons and dragons.
Whoa. Is there even a dungeon mechanic in this whole deck?
I plead the fifth. I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so moving on to the deck's value. Okay, so one thing that's important to note is that this only takes into consideration the 54 reprints in this deck,
mm-hmm.
Not any of the new cards, because the new cards don't have prices yet.
We don't know yet.
This is before this deck has been released to you or anything like that. And speaking of which, it means that we're taking prices before you know what all these cards are worth. And so prices change. But one thing that's good is that we do the same thing with every pre-constructed deck. So we have a benchmark for all of these pre-constructed decks, you know, for years, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So can you reveal to us the total reprint value of Draconic Rage?
The total value of reprints in this deck is $128.86. That's almost $130.
Wow.
I don't know if you ask me, but that's pretty good.
I'm going to ask you. That's pretty good, right?
That's so good.
To put it in comparison, because we need comparison, the Strixhaven pre-constructed deck. That's the one that just came out a little while ago. Wow, we just had pre-cons.
I know.
Okay.
I was the last one.
The reprint average was $88, mm-hmm. across those 5 decks, which, by the way, $88 was fine. $88 compared to $128? $50 increase? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And then, well, not $50, $40.
See, math's hard.
Math's hard. Anyways. And then, by the way, if we take the pre-constructed decks over the past 3 years, we add them all up, we divide, we figure out what the average is. The average is actually pretty close to Strixhaven. It's $87 average. And so this deck is doing great compared to all of the pre-constructed decks over the past 3 years. So we know that the value in this deck is good. So let's talk about the notable reprints in the set, because we're going to want to know where all that value is coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are 18 cards worth more than $2 in Draconic Rage.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And there are 6 cards over $5, which is pretty good, because if you compare that to Strixhaven, there were only 3 cards over $5 when you average out each deck.
Okay, well.
So that's double the amount of expensive cards.
Double the fun.
Let's do it. So why don't we start us off with the most expensive reprint?
The most expensive reprint is Kindred Summons at $28.
Whew, that card needed a reprint.
It's been a while.
And that's a fun card too. And actually, like, I can imagine, like, you have a few of these 5/4 dragon tokens out there, and then Kindred Summon a bunch of dragons onto the battlefield.
Blah, blah, blah.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
All right, next up.
Next up, we have Skyline Despot at $21.
Ooh, another weird reprint. But I love the Monarch mechanic, and so getting a big chonky dragon that draws you a card is mm-hmm. great. Moving down the list, we go from $21 way down to $8.50 with Rishkar's Expertise.
I mean, it's still It's still really
It's still a really good reprint, honestly. And more people need to play with Rishkar's Expertise because it is a very fun card. Drawing cards is great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great in this deck, too. Next up, Haven of the Spirit Dragon at $5. Does that dragon synergy. Gratuitous Violence at $5. You know, you're an attacking deck. You have 5/4s. Might as well attack a little bit better.
Yep.
Dragon's Horde at $5. Another Dragon's Matters card. Mm-hmm. Thunderbreak Regent at $4. You know, if your opponent are going to take out your dragons, you might as well, you know, tax them a little bit with some life.
Yeah.
Plus, it's just a great little dragon.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Speaking of a good attacking dragon, what about the next one?
Terror of Mount Velis.
Ooh, that's the double striking dragon.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, and I think a lot of people's favorites, I mean, at least for dragons and red in general, Anger.
Anger. This is a deck about rage. But honestly, you want to be able to attack really quickly with your dragons. Like, a lot of them have haste, but these ones don't.
I want to be able to attack immediately.
Yeah.
I want you to never see it coming.
Oh, they reprinted one of the best Dragons Matters cards, Scourge of Valkis.
Yeah.
A $3 card, reprinted, get in all of the dragon decks because honestly, it's just a great card, triggering off your dragons, just doing a ton of different damage.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Dragon Speaker Shaman at $3.
Great. Cost your dragons for cheaper. Mm-hmm. Game Trail, solid little land at $2.50. Soul Ring at $2.50. We all know what Soul Ring does. Desert, another little land in there at $2.50. That's one of the Enrage Enablers, by the way. Mm-hmm. Dragon Master Outcast, makes dragons. Coming at $2.50. Mm-hmm. Chameleon Colossus, technically a dragon at $2.25. Technically, a Beast Within at $2.25 and Arcane Signet coming in at $2.
I'm glad they reprinted Arcane Signet again.
It's honestly starting to go in every single deck, and so I'm glad that it's going to get the Soul Ring treatment and keep the price going down. Perfect. All right. So we talked about the commanders. We talked about the stats of the deck. We're getting a better idea of what belongs in the deck. We're seeing all of the notable reprints. Who should you run as the commander of this deck?
I mean, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life, but yes, I am here to tell you what I did with my upgrade, and I'm going to go with Vrondis, Rage of Ancients.
I think that that's an obvious, I think it's really great because honestly, you have all your dice rolling cards and you want to play with the new mechanic. And so you want the commander that synergizes with dice rolling. You also, come on, you're creating 5/4s.
I mean, like, look, it's a great dragon tribal deck. Like, it really is. You could easily run Klothys. But if you know anything about me, I don't like expensive commanders. And so out of all of them, Vrondis really spiked my interest because I love the Enrage mechanic. And so I was like, you know what? Let's take advantage of these dice rolling cards in here, which is going to be new and fun, and Enrage because I love it.
So once you attack with this, if they kill it after attacks, you could generate enough mana to play it again?
I mean, hypothetically, probably.
Honestly, this thing can create a ton of mana, but you can't even use the mana for activated abilities. So a lot of dragons have really cool activated abilities. They fireball things, or they become monstrous, or all sorts of stuff. Like, there's dragons that have you take extra turns, like extra combat steps,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a thing. Savage Ventmaw can help you. It's kind of like this. It produces a bunch of mana when it attacks, and then you can use that mana for activated abilities. Mm-hmm. You can't with this.
Nope.
It's like they knew that that would be really good, and they made it not work.
They knew it would be really good, and they're like, this deck is already really good, so like, let's not break it.
Yeah. So casting lots more big things is great, but you can't use it on activated abilities. That's pretty limiting. And then we talked about Wulfgar. I mean,
I just feel like with our budget and our 10 in, 10 out, it's just not feasible enough for me to get enough in here with attack triggers that I'm going to get enough value off of them.
I like Wulfgar. I will build a commander deck around Wulfgar. So head on over to the Jumbo Commander YouTube channel where you can see a deck on Wulfgar and attacking matters triggers because I am excited about that for sure. Yeah. Okay, but you have chosen Dun Dun Dun.
Vrondis, Rage of Ancients! I'm going to say it like that every time.
Perfect. All right. So, choosing that, let's talk about the best cards in this commander deck.
All righty. Well, here, let's do it this way. Well, this is one of your recommendations.
I thought that this card was gross.
I completely agree. I completely agree. It's called Druid of Purification. It's 3 and a green, 2/3. When Druid of Purification enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player may choose an artifact or enchantment you don't control. Destroy each permanent chosen this way.
So I love this card. It's amazing. So first thing is that we're used to paying 3 mana to destroy target artifact or enchantment, right? Yep. Like that's something that we all play. This is 1 extra mana, but has the potential of getting even more things. They can never select one of your things.
Never.
You play it and you get to choose first and say like, I need to get rid of that thing over there. Gone. Mm-hmm. But then you have the added benefit of going around the table and everyone just getting mad at each other and killing each other's things. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they can all pick the same thing.
They can all pick the same thing.
But if you're the one being targeted, don't you think you might want to snipe someone else's stuff?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you're like, I want that to go away. And then there's probably other threats at the table as well. And they're like, okay, well, I know that's scary, but that's also scary. So let's get rid of that too.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of that. Or you just play this politically. You just have, all you need is one friend to be like, okay, I'm going to get that and you get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
like, wouldn't you team up with me if I was like, okay, like I'll get this and you get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You do that in a heartbeat, right?
100%.
Yeah. So then we do that, and then suddenly everyone is getting their artifacts and enchantments nuked, and you are protected.
You get out of there scot-free.
I love it. I love it so much.
All right, and this is one we talked about earlier because it is a good card, and it's called Rishkar's Expertise. It's 4 green-green. It's a sorcery. Draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. You may cast a spell with mana value 5 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. In this deck, that's great because you're going to draw a ton of cards because these dragons are huge.
And, I think the average case scenario is draw 5 cards for 6 mana and then play a dragon.
Yeah.
That seems great.
That seems so good.
Like the floor of that seems really, really good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that we don't need to convince people the Rishkar's Expertise is great. It's great.
Well, just take my word for it. And so last but not least, we have Scourge of Valkis. It's 2 mana and 3 red for a 4/4 flying dragon. Whenever Scourge of Valkis or another dragon enters the battlefield under your control, it deals X damage to any target, where X is the number of dragons you control. And you can pay 1 red, and Scourge of Valkis gets +1/+0 until the end of turn.
Oh my gosh.
It's not a tap ability. It's just pay. So you can pump it up.
You can put a lot of dragons have fire breathing. Why can't you let us use it in activated abilities? It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But Scourge of Valkis is great because you're going to be triggering your commander. You're just the commander at the helm. And so you could put in 2 or 3 different dragons. And then suddenly you're doing like 3 damage, 4 damage, 5 damage, like back to back to back to different things. Like you can take out blockers. You can, you can maybe just ping it for 1 or 2 and ping your commander to create another 5/4 that then has it ping something else. Like it's a lot of damage spread over a lot of different things. And trust me, we have enrage enablers in this deck.
Yep.
So we're going to be able to make 5/4s.
Mm-hmm. Don't you worry.
If you were worried about our ability to make 5/4s, well, then stay tuned because we're going to talk about all the cards to add really soon after this short commercial break.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hello, we are back, and we are going to be talking about the upgrades to this deck. Now, remember, we're putting 10 cards in, 10 cards out, and we are keeping the budget under $30 so that it is an easy swap so you can get this deck powered up to play at your commander tables. Let's talk about the first category, which is Enrage.
Oh, yes.
Listen, there really wasn't enough Enrage Enablers, and you wanted to be able to reliably do Enrage. Just having a single card that rolls a single die sometimes, you know, wasn't enough to create 5/4s. We want 5/4s all the time. All of the time. So your first Enrage Enabler is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So my first Enrage Enabler is Marauding Raptor. It's one and a red. It's a 2/3. Creature spells you cast cost one less to cast. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Marauding Raptor deals 2 damage to it. If a dinosaur is dealt damage this way, Marauding Raptor gets +2/+0 till end of turn.
Dinosaurs? Do we have dinosaurs in this deck?
Maybe.
It doesn't matter, honestly.
I personally feel like dragons are dinosaurs, but like, I'm sure there's some technicality in there.
Yeah. Could you imagine if someone sat down at the commander table and they're like, by the way, I consider dinosaurs dragons and dragons dinosaurs, just letting you know.
So I'm running dinosaur dragon tribal.
And they're all going to work. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Okay. But Marauding Raptor is a great pick because it is that mana ramp, right? Like you're going to be playing dragons. You're going to make them cheaper. But then also you play your commander and then immediately make a dragon.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You get this out early, you play your commander, boom, you get dragons.
And also, you're not playing a lot of little things that are going to die to this trigger, so everything seems to be fine. Like, even you make a 5/4, it has this trigger happen to it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
A lot of our dragons have really big butts, so, like, or toughness, for those that don't know, they'll be able to survive, and it really won't be that big of a deal.
Okay. Next up, we have something a little bit similar.
Mm-hmm. So we have Aether Flash. It is 2 red-red. It's an enchantment. Whenever a creature comes into play, Aether Flash deals 2 damage to it. So it's another source of being able to do direct damage to our commander and or some of the other bigger dragons that'll just be just dandy.
They're just fine. They come in and they're like, 2 damage, that's fine. But like, you could play this against some decks and they just fold, right?
Yes.
Like, you play this and then suddenly they're like, oh, my sapperlings. Mm-hmm. Oh, my elves.
Yeah,
like, I can't do anything.
It kind of hoses some other decks that are going to play some smaller things.
I like that. So those are cards that will produce 1 dragon when your commander enters, which is good because they both curve into your commander really nicely.
Exactly.
But we are going to want to enrage our commander over and over and over again, right?
Oh, as much
so let's
as
talk about some recursive enragement.
So our recursive enragement is Brass Taunter. It's 4 and a red, 1/1, indestructible. Whenever Brass Taunter is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to a target opponent. And then you can pay 2 and a red, tap it, Brass Taunter fights another target creature. So the way this works here is you would essentially just pay that, tap it, and attack, and target your commander.
They fight! Your commander takes 1 damage and creates a dragon and deals 5 damage to Brass Taunter, which you direct at your opponent's face.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right. So the last but not least enrage enabler we have in here is Court of Ire. It is a 3 and a red-red enchantment. When Court of Ire enters the battlefield, you become the monarch. At the beginning of your upkeep, Court of Ire deals 2 damage to any target. If you're the monarch, it deals 7 damage to that player or permanent instead. So it's another way for you to deal damage to your commander reliably every single turn, and if you are still the monarch, you just get to shoot 7 damage anywhere you want.
Yeah, like, if you're the monarch and you're drawing a card and dealing 7 damage, I don't care that I'm not able to trigger enrage. Like, I'm just like, oh, 5/4 that dies after it deals damage? No, I'll just take 7 damage directly. But if you're not the monarch, ping this thing, create a 5/4. And
exactly.
And those disposable 5/4s are good ways to get the monarch back.
Mm-hmm.
As well as flying dragons are a great way to get the monarch back. So that was just a great inclusion.
All right. So we've got our dragony advantage.
Okay, so this is not we're not going to trigger enrage anymore. Instead, we're going to sort of get advantage from playing a deck full of big dragons.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite cards I put in here is Lurking Predators. It is a 4-mana green-green enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, put it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, you may put that card on the bottom of your library. So we've got these big honker dragons that are really expensive to cast, but you know your opponents are going to be casting spells. So if you play a dragon for free, I don't think you say no.
Yeah, I think you want like two dragons for free, but honestly, you only have to hit this a couple times before you are like just taking over the game. Like your opponents just have to respect it. And sometimes someone like, I've played this before where people are like, cast a spell. And then you're like, oh, and then everyone has free reign to cast a spell again. Mm-hmm. And then they around the next turn, someone's like, do I do it? Do I cast a spell? And you're like, dragon, dragon.
I've done it before where I've just, oh, it was so nasty. I have it in my Mael deck and it just fun. Boom, boom, boom.
Honestly, it works in any deck that has a big number of creatures, like these massive creatures. So mm-hmm. It belongs in a dragon deck. So this is one of your most expensive cards. All the cards we talked about before, you know, a dollar, less than a dollar, Brash Taunter was $2.50. This one is $5.50.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of the more expensive cards in your list. Do you think Lurking Predators is worth that price?
I personally do, and like I said, as a card that I play with in many decks, when you are trying to get out, I feel like the biggest thing that stops decks that are high mana curve and high mana value and things like that is being able to play your stuff, and getting to kind of cheat them in is the easiest way to get around that. So I think it's worth it.
I mean, you are playing off the top of your deck, so it's card draw and mana advantage, the two things that we care about most in Commander. All right, mm-hmm. I am sold on that. This is one I kind of foisted upon you. I was like, play this card.
And I was like, all right, fine. Normally I'm like, no, I'm going to go with this really, really ultra not value card. But this one, I've been convinced.
But dragons love treasure.
I know, dragons love treasure, therefore Tireless Provisioner is so great. It is 2 mana and a green. It's a creature elf scout with landfall. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, create a food token or a treasure token.
These hungry dragons, they need treasure.
They need their hoard.
Yeah, they really do. And honestly, we don't have to talk about this one very much because it's amazing. We play it down and then we keep hitting our land drops and it lets us save up treasure, because sometimes when you're playing a deck that has a really high curve that has these big dragons, you know, you might take a turn off or play 2-3 drops in a row so that you can get this bigger dragon out faster. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of treasure in this deck, and Tireless Provisioner makes a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
But now we get to some of the more spicy cards. Look.
Spicy. And be funny, because if you don't know, I did Azmarana Martyr. I did the spicy voice for that. That's why it's funny. Oh,
very nice.
You didn't laugh. It's
okay. I didn't. I didn't know you had to explain the inside
joke
to me.
You
want to
know what? It's I didn't know that. I know Murph and Jake are laughing in the other room.
They're laughing. All the editors are laughing right now. Okay, so we've talked about all the hoops we want to jump through to be able to get 5/4s and get mm-hmm. a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
And so just having a 5/4 is fine, but we want them to attack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So granting them haste could be really good. Anger's already in this deck, but we went searching high and low for the best haste enablers for our Dragon Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And we found a good one. You found a good one.
I found a good one. I came out of the darkness with this one. This one is Perforous Bronze Blooded. It is 4 mana and a red. It's a 7/6. Indestructible God. As long as your devotion to red is less than 5, Perforous isn't a creature. Other creatures you control have haste, and you can pay 2 and a red. You may put a red creature card or an artifact creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step.
Okay, so haste. That's mm-hmm. what we're really looking for, yep. right? But then also, like, we have dragons in this deck. Like, we can activate Perforous. Like, we can turn Perforous on.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a thing that can happen. But then also, like, we could cheat in, like, a big dragon out of nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we're getting in with this whole haste thing, is that we want to create these 5/4s and give them haste and smash, but then also activate this ability and just throw in another dragon and smash too. Like, I feel like Perforous gives us the ability to get a lot of damage out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to be able to play that dragon and you're like, oh, dragon's scary, but you're like, oh, even more scary, you can hit me with it right now.
like you take a turn to the table, it's like, oh, dragon's scary, but when it's like, you don't have enough time to even be scared, it's like, dragon's scary, dragon hit me,
dragon scary, dragon smork. Okay,
I actually think that this one might be scarier.
I mean, it is scary. I mean, it's me, so it's gonna be scary. So our next one we have is Xenagos, God of Revels. It is 3, a red and a green, 6/5, indestructible god. As long as your devotion to red and green is less than 7, Xenagos isn't a creature. At the beginning of combat on your turn, another target creature you control gains haste and gets +X/+X until the end of turn, where X is that creature's power.
Oh, so now your dragons gain haste like you wanted them to, but they're 10 power.
That's a double whammy.
10 power. That smashes. That smashes really, really well.
That smashes.
And I think that's what this deck wants to be. It wants to be the smashing deck, right?
Oh, yeah. It wants to go sideways.
It wants to be rage-filled.
It is rage-filled.
All right. And then last thing, look, you can't smash with your dragons if your opponents do things to them like destroy them.
How dare
like
they?
Like wipe your board.
I would never. I'm just kidding. I would never because I have Rap and Vigor. It is 1 and a green instant. Regenerate each creature you control.
Nice. So protect your dragons. Protect your commander because your deck is kind of built around your commander too.
Yep.
All those cards add up to just around $30. We were right there on the edge of that. Mm-hmm. The most expensive card we included was Xenagos, God of Revels.
At $9.99.
I think that was a good inclusion, right? Like, I like it.
I think so because it really allows you to just, like, you put out a big dragon with haste, and then you go ahead and you smash with it, and it doubles the power and toughness, or gives it +X/+X.
Like, worth the money over a very cheap, because we could pick another haste enabler, and it could be really cheap, you know,
yeah.
Like in the 25 cent, mm-hmm. you know, category. But pumping the power is worth it.
Right? It really is, because swinging out with this is going to be really, really prevalent, and you just want to get as much damage as you want out, because it puts a target on your back.
Yeah.
You know?
And Purphoros, Bronze-Blooded, the next most, well, it goes Xenagos, Lurking Predators, where we talked about that. Purphoros, Bronze-Blooded at $4. Mm-hmm. That one seems like a good use for haste, right?
I think so.
I think so, too. Okay. Excellent job, Tenon, but do you know what? Telling you what cards to put into the deck doesn't really help unless we tell you what cards to take out. Mm-hmm. We got to tell you what cards are not pulling their weight and pull them out so that you're actually upgrading this deck rather than just flailing around and putting some cards in and cards out. So let's talk about what cards to take out. But before we do, I'd like to compliment you on how good of a job you did on subbing in these cards and keeping it on budget. Excellent job.
Well, thank you. It was very hard because anybody that's played Dragons before knows they're very expensive. I mean that in multiple ways.
How many times did you like say, oh, this dragon, and you look it up and it's like too expensive?
Yeah. I'm like, ooh. Oh. Well, then I would get eaten alive in the comments section if I put a $17 dragon in here. And as much as I don't care, I wanted to make the best for you all, so...
I think that that's something that people need to be aware of, because, like, some of the dragons that are really cool, are pretty expensive. And
they
so,
really are.
Yeah. So that's both a downside. We talk about, oh, dragons are expensive, but the good side is that there are a bunch of dragons reprinted in this deck, and the price of those will go down and be cheaper and allow dragon decks to be more accessible.
Yeah.
So thumbs up for some dragons being more accessible. You might be sad as you go searching through the internet to find your favorite dragon. And it's like, my favorite dragon is so expensive. No. But
look,
like,
Wizards, please reprint Terror of the Peaks.
It just came out. That's the one you wanted. You wanted Terror of the Peaks to make 5/4s and terror smash people.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk about the cards that we want to take out of this deck. First card, let's talk about it.
First card we are going to take out of here is Dragonlord Servant. It is a 1 and a red for 1/3. Dragon spells you cast cost 1 less to cast.
Let's combine this with a Dragon Speaker Shaman, 1 red for a 2/2 human barbarian shaman. Dragon spells you cost 2 less to cast. This is like mana ramp. Why are we removing our mana ramp?
Well, I put in Marauding Raptor instead, which I thought was like...
Marauding Raptor is definitely better than this. It is definitely better than this Dragon Lord Servant. And also Tireless Provisioner too.
Mm-hmm.
That's another form of mana ramp. So we put in 2 pieces of mana ramp. We took out 2 pieces of mana ramp.
And we put in ways to cheat the dragons out, which... helps a little bit with that.
Okay. And also, spoiler, we are cutting some dragons. And so when our dragon count goes down, some of the thematic ways to cast dragons mm-hmm. get less and less powerful.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Neverwind Hydra. An XX green green 00. As Neverwind Hydra enters the battlefield, roll XD6. It enters with a number of +1/+1 counters on it equal to the number of those results. Trample, and it has ward 4. Whenever this creature becomes target of a spell or an ability an opponent controls, counter it unless it, that player plays 4.
Wait a second. If I paid 4 mana for this, I could roll 2 sixes and it would be a 12/12 for 4 mana trample ward. This card is insane.
It's really good.
that's like the
but
top.
That's
that's an insane scenario.
I was like, but the chances of that happening
are
very small. Not a lot. And, you know,
1 in 36.
It's 1 in 36. You like, heard yeah. it here. For me.
The average case scenario is rolling a 3, right?
Yeah.
You know, you roll a 6 on one die, but you might roll a 1 on the other. Mm. But so like the average case scenario, because like I talked about this being a 12/12, mm-hmm. But it could be a 2/2 for 4.
Yeah.
A 2/2 ward 2 trample. Like, come on. That's got to be the most depressing card ever. You want reliability in your creatures.
I do. And I sometimes I like, and I couldn't.
You couldn't?
I couldn't.
I'm sorry. I agree with you. I don't like that card. I think that you need to get into really high amounts of dice. You need to cast that thing for some insane amount of mana or just roll a ton of dice across the table and then calculate everything. That sounds fun to me.
That sounds fun. Well, calculating doesn't sound fun, but rolling dice sounds fun.
So yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I got one over here. Okay. It's called Decree of Savagery. It's a 9 mana combat trick. 7 green green for an instant. Put 4 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control. It also has cycling. 4 green green. When you cycle Decree of Savagery, put 4 +1/+1 counters on one target creature.
That's... Couldn't you just do something like Colossification?
I don't even
know. Instead of that?
It's, I mean, are we a deck that's about pumping up a single creature?
No.
Our dragons are already big. Like, yeah. Our dragons are already big. Our dragons don't need to be bigger. Yes, we might go wide with these 5/4 dragons. So then if we put 4 +1/+1 counters on them, oh my gosh, they become 9/8s that then die when they deal damage. Mm-hmm. That's not what we want.
No.
So we're not going wide to cast this for 9. And our tallness, like our big creatures are big enough. We don't need to cycle this for 6.
No.
And add more counters to it. I agree. It is a clunky combat trick that does not synergize with our deck.
Absolutely not. And then these are technically dragons. We have Taurian Mauler, which is 2 and a red for a 2/2 changeling. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may put a +1/+1 counter on Taurian Mauler.
I've seen this get pretty big.
It can get pretty big, but because we're running things that are going to deal damage to our creatures coming in, I didn't want to have this in there because it's a 2/2, so it could just get annihilated immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't think it would have lived long enough to really get really big.
Okay. It's not a very big, impactful creature. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
And then we have Chameleon Colossus for 2 and a green green. It's a 4/4, another changeling. It's got protection from black, and you can pay 2 green green and gets +X/+X till end of turn, where X is its power. So it can get very huge, and it's not necessarily going to die when it immediately comes in, but truth be honest, I just wasn't feeling it. I was like there's a cooler card I can put in here.
Got it. So you were like, this is a dragon deck, and this is not even, like, this is one of those fake dragons.
Yeah, like, it's a dragon deck, and there's so many cool dragons already. I don't need changelings.
Look at these imposter dragons in here. Get out of here. But then you also said get out of here to some actual real dragons.
I kicked him to the curb, a few of these dragons, because they were a little clunky. So I did Skyship Stalker. It's 2 and a red, 3/3 flying. You can pay red. It gets +1/+0 till end of turn. You can pay red. It gains first strike till end of turn. Or you could pay red and it gains haste till end of turn.
I'm not very excited about that dragon. Okay.
It's like it can do a job. But it's budget, not the job budget I want.
Dragon. Yeah, okay. I agree.
And then, as we all know, I don't like very high mana cost cards. I usually play pretty low curve decks in general. And then so I got rid of Horde Smelter Dragon, which is 4 and a red for a 5/5. Flying Dragon, you can pay 3 and a red, destroy target artifact. Horde Smelter Dragon gets +X/+0 till end of turn, where X is that artifact's mana value. So it definitely could do something really cool if you're getting rid of like some really expensive artifact. But I'm not going to pay four to just, I don't know.
Well, okay, you mentioned that it was clunky, right? So let's take the play pattern. This comes down on turn six, okay? Still not a great body. Turn seven rolls around, and then suddenly you're gonna start activating this and blowing something up. That's not really what you wanna be doing on turn seven. Turn seven has to be like really high impact. Don't you wanna be putting in a bunch of 5/4s and giving him haste and doing a bunch of damage?
Yes.
Rather than activating this for 4 mana. Mm-hmm. And it's 4 mana to just take something out. Like, yes, it could take out a relevant artifact, but you might just be taking out mana rocks, and that's not a good use of your mana.
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I think that you describing it as clunky is probably a good description. Sorry, Horde Smelter Dragon.
You're cute, but no.
But we're going to find more efficient ways to take out artifacts.
So my last one I have to take out is called Boggarden Hellkite. It is 6 mana, red, 5/5, flying, flash. When Boggarden Hellkite enters the battlefield, it deals 5 damage divided as you choose among any number of targets. Now, yes, you can use this.
This is an Enrage Enabler.
You can use this as an Enrage Enabler, but for 8?
It's so much mana.
For 8?
And it's only 5 damage, too. It's not like it's dealing it's not like it's dealing 8 damage divided up. It's like,
it's 5, like, and I can only technically do it once?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
And I, you know, we put in some more reliable Enrage mechanic yes, enabler cards in here, as opposed to spending 8 mana to do 5.
Yeah, I know. This, it just doesn't cut it, because you need to be doing more powerful things at 8. I agree with you with cutting that dragon as well. Okay, so going over our cuts, we have 2 ramp cards, because we got better ramp cards and we're cutting down the dragons. Mm-hmm. We got rid of a Hydra that is living in Magical Christmas Land in a dragon deck for some reason. But you know what? Hydras are like dinosaurs, like dragons. They're all the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got rid of a combat trick that is way too expensive. Yeah. Even when you're cycling it, it's a 6 mana combat trick. And then we got rid of 5 dragons. 2 of them are imposters. They're not even dinosaurs.
They're not even real dragons. Dragons. They're not even real dragons. Look, I am now the mother of dragons. I don't want any imposters in here.
Okay, so one thing to note, though, is that we are cutting 5 dragons, so that does decrease our dragon count. And so if we are trying to hit dragons or synergize with other parts of our deck, you know, like we have fewer hits. And also we didn't add any dragons. Mm-hmm. I think that our dragon count is still high enough.
Yes.
That this deck still functions. But as you're tinkering with this deck, that's something you should pay attention to, is like, okay, well, I have these thematic elements of a dragon. Well, how many dragons can you cut before those thematic elements start feeling clunky and they stop kind of working?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to upgrade it differently. I'm sure there's a world that you can go more dinosaurs, less dragons. That sounds a lot of fun to me, because Enrage is notably
so you like this as you would cut the dragons and just go all Enrage and add a bunch of dinosaurs.
If I had an unlimited budget and not $30, I would put in, you know, Polyraptor, like there's so many other things.
Ripjaw Raptor,
like so many other really sick, like enraged dinosaurs that you can totally do. But this was our budget, 10 in, 10 out, and it made more sense to do it this way.
Dragons are cool. I mean, I guess dinosaurs are cool too. You're right. You're right. And I think that speaks to how exciting the face commander is with that enrage mechanic, is that you are so much more excited about the enrage mechanic rather than the dinosaur mm-hmm. aspect of it.
Yep.
Okay, very cool. Let's talk about how this deck plays, because you've had a chance to run this deck through its courses, play a couple games, and then teasing it, mm-hmm. this deck will be played on a new episode of Extra Turns coming out in the future.
Maybe.
So pay attention to that coming out. but how does this deck play?
So this deck is, you're going to ramp, you're going to utilize your curve, you're going to play dragons, and then you're going to become the mother of dragons, or the father, or the parent, the owner of dragons. Perhaps. Maybe.
The dog walker of dragons.
You're going to be the Caesar of dragons. You're going to have 20 million dragons. Caesar Milan,
you're just going to whisper to the dragons. You're like, hello, dragon.
Somebody's going to try to attack you.
Actually, someone's going to try to attack you, and you will. You'll go like, trigger my enrage on my commander, create a 5/4 block. You know, and no one wants to attack you when you have a 5/4 that creates more dragons.
You thought wrong.
Okay, so ramp, curve out, cast dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
And then we also have, I don't even want to call it like a plan B, because it's not a plan B. It's kind of like A.5. You're going to...
A.5.
You're going to make 5/4 tokens, and you're going to enrage, and you're going to roll dice, which, you know, this is part of the Adventure of Forgotten Realms stuff. So like it's based around Dungeons and Dragons, and I love Dungeons and Dragons, and I love rolling dice. It's one of my favorite things to do. And so I'm excited that I'm going to be able to get to roll dice with some of these really cool new cards.
So you have cool cards that have this cool dice mechanic on it, and you can roll dice, and then yeah, that makes sense.
And it triggers your commander, and then you have more dragons.
Got it. So the more sort of straightforward is curve out, play dragon, smash. But then also there's like I'm going to like play whatever cool rolling I have. I'm going to do these enrage enablers, and I'm going to have like this long-term plan of creating a bunch of tokens and then smash.
Yeah, because you can even like, maybe you don't necessarily have any removal in your hand, and you're like, oh, you know, my hand's a little slow or something like that. And you're like, but I have this way to create and roll dice. So I'm going to do that, whether it's an instant, you know, whatever. Ideally, it's an instant. You do it on somebody else's step, and now you have blockers.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's like its own little combat trick.
So is this a powerful deck?
I think so.
Ooh.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, it is enraging.
Right. So to the listeners, what do you think about this Gruul Precon? Are there any cards that we missed? Any cards that we suggested to take out? What do you disagree with? Just tell Lady in the comments.
Tell me in the comments. I'll be there.
She's going to be like arguing in the comments.
Catch
tell
me
her
outside.
Everything that she did. Also, we want to make sure that there's a special thanks to Card Kingdom. Buy cards there. Use our affiliate link. It is wonderful. They support us, and we love Card Kingdom because they get us the cards that we want quickly. Use cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's right. Also, Ultra Pro. They make beautiful products like deck boxes.
Like our new limited edition Game Nights deck box.
And if you go on our... And by the way, you can't just get this at any old Ultra Pro store, game
no,
store.
No, I do not think.
You got to go on Kickstarter because then it's a limited supply. So you got to go to Kickstarter.
And if you've supported any of our Kickstarters before, you know that it's happening. It's hip hop happening. It is... Like, get it now or forever hold it.
Yeah, we can't, like, they're made. Like, we can't just, like, go out there and make more.
Limited.
Let's do it. All right, there's no end step because there's a pre-con upgrade guide, but mm-hmm. We do have some thank yous in the cleanup step. We have a big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone, starting off with...
Lady Danger.
Vince Monk, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pritchett, Arthur Metacroft, Sam Waldo, Grav Grotti, and Dan Sheehan. And a special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations at Living Cards MTG.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for upgrading this deck.
Thank you, DJ.
You are truly the mother of dragons.
Yes, I am. I'm Lady Khaleesi.
Bye-bye, peace. Everyone.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.